This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. Y'all know B-Skeezy. My man T-Mill is on the ones and twos behind the glass over there. And we got Cal and Hannah McNair in the building, the owners of the Houston Texans. And I want to first and foremost apologize for my co-host, Ron, the show Hughley.
Yeah, not me.
I mean,
he's avoiding us.
I shouldn't say apologize. I should have for him. He hates that he's missing this opportunity, but Turks and Caicos came calling, you know?
He hates us. That's what I heard you say.
Now, is that what I said? Did I really say that? I've been known to say things, and Tyler.
I thought you said that too. I thought you said it.
Well, he was on here.
We did, and then he took another day.
But now he's also not allowed to hold it against you guys for not being on with him because he had the opportunity and he chose Turks and Caicos
twice,
not once but twice. Yeah. Twice. I see what you did there.
Hey, we're glad to be here with you.
Yeah, it's our first time ever with B Scott.
We were just saying that the people don't know how friendly we are because we've never done this in public. So this is a joy,
right?
And I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you guys in the building once again. We're talking in the break. How cool it was that you guys, now you said a time hop and some kind of flashback, I'm assuming that is on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or on your phone.
I'm not
okay.
on any of those things, so no, not those.
But your first time coming in 3 years ago, I didn't realize it had been that long ago since you guys came in.
It was that long ago.
Time flies.
Three years ago, man. It probably wasn't a ton of fun for y'all back then, but it definitely is now. We greatly appreciate you guys coming in and talking Texans, baby. It's a good time.
We've always enjoyed coming in. Y'all have always been very fair, critical. It's fine. Being fair, we appreciated y'all being fair, and we're glad to be here then and glad to be here now.
Always
also
good.
Diplomatic.
Yeah, Hannah let me know when it wasn't fair. You're wrong. You're wrong. Dang,
I text him
I'm sorry.
Right away. I'm like, what are you even saying? I
said fair with air quotes.
Oh, yeah. I missed him.
It's good to keep us honest, though, and to have that back and forth. Everybody needs that gut check, right? Like the same way we're trying to hold y'all accountable, it's not bad to be held accountable yourself.
Talk to us a little bit about the 2025 Texans, man. I mean, we are all excited about it. Back-to-back 10-win seasons, back-to-back second round of the playoffs. It went fast. Now, I mean, it went really fast and built this thing the right way and had a lot of success. Where do we go from here, and how do you guys feel about the 2025 Texans?
Dude, we're excited. And by the way, we got a game tomorrow. It's preseason and all, but
home game,
and our house will be open. Love for the fans to see the new video boards. The new sound system sounds great. Got a new field. putting on a new roof. They really won't notice that, but excited for those changes on the facility. And really the roster, we think we have a really strong roster. We'll see as we go through the season, you know, how we hold up and how we play and how we get better as the season progresses, like we have the last couple of years. So that's what we're looking forward to, and it's all fixing to start. So we're really excited.
So I'm curious, though, like when y'all are at – I watch y'all a little bit, observe y'all at practice. Are y'all anything like us as fans where we have specific things that we fixate on, or like just like an odd fan thing that you're really – whether it's the running backs or like, you know, we talk about the offensive line a lot here on the station. What are some of the things, you know, beyond just the bird's eye view being like the bosses, what are some of the things at practice and at camp leading up to this moment that really kind of draw you guys' attention?
Okay.
I thought we'd go back and
I think initially we were I was watching the line, both sides.
Okay, so wait a minute. You were watching the line?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
thoughts?
So when I first started dating Cal, I said, well, what do you, like when you're looking at this and what when you, say, predict what's going to happen and what you think is going to, is it, if it's a good team or an okay team, what do you look at? And he goes, it starts up front. It starts with the line on both sides. So that's when I started looking at it. And you can see that. I mean, if you have somebody, protection for your quarterback, I mean, you're making plays. So, and if you have a D-line that can put pressure, it just changes the game.
No doubt.
What about, let's go back to, I'm interested from the owner's perspective of this year, there was some change within the staff and going a different direction on the offensive side of the football. Not to get off in the weeds on that in particular schematically, but how does, hey man, we won 10 games, we're the second round of the playoffs, and hey, we're going to make some changes here, and we're going to make some wholesale changes on one side of the football. Are you guys involved in that, or is it just, all right, you got it, go take off and make it happen?
Well, one of the things we believe in the organization is challenging each other. Oh, sorry.
He's got talking offline, and it messed Cal up.
Sometimes I help with the production a little bit. T-Mill and I are working together in
He's
concert.
He's listening, Cal. He's listening.
Yes, I'm definitely listening to you, though.
Listen to me.
I'm definitely listening to you, Cal. Multitasking. It's part of the job.
What were we talking about?
The changes in the coaching staff that we've made.
We want to challenge each other and constantly evolve, and we embrace that. And so when they started talking about wanting to make some changes, we said, well, I mean, we want you to think about those things and evolve and constantly get better, and don't have a fear of change, and so coach really embraced that and made some, I mean, there were big changes, but we were totally on board with him and supported him in those efforts.
One thing I love, Cal, about, and I think obviously you guys are involved in these decisions behind and good and bad, by the way, I don't care to dig into the weeds and just the negative ones, but the what D'Amico and Nick and D'Amico, it happened before D'Amico got here, but the y'all's ability to make decisions with a sense of urgency has been so fun to, not fun to watch because somebody's moving on, but it's been so fun as a fan to watch, okay, that's not going to work, let's move on, because I think a lot of times it's easy to go, well, let's go one more year, let's go two more years, and then you look up and you're like, what the heck have we done? Where you guys, the sense of urgency that D'Amico and Nick and you guys have made decisions and moved on. Now, they've all worked out in your favor recently. So, but that is just refreshing as a fan, man, to know that you got an ownership group and guys running the team down there that are doing everything they can right here, right now to get better as a team, man. That's been refreshing.
Well, thank you. And by the way, they're not all going to work. I mean, they're not, but we're going to try to make great decisions and challenge each other and, you know, have good dialogue and talk and debate and all those things and come up with good decisions.
Well, you hire the right head coach and then the ownership gets behind them and gives them that level of confidence, man. That's powerful.
Cal is very patient, but he also knows what he wants.
Yeah.
When he's got his vision and what he wants to do, he's unafraid to make those decisions. Those hard decisions. I mean, you saw back-to-backs, right? Like, those are not easy.
Yeah. Yep.
So... but he knew which direction he wanted, and he was willing to take the heat for it and say it with his chest. And here we are.
They worked out all right.
Yeah.
Those two worked out all right.
Definitely the ones that we're working with now. I'm curious what communication looks like from a leadership standpoint for you guys. Like balance, I'm sure you guys deal with a delicate balance of allowing the people that you hire to do their jobs, but also wanting to have an open line of communication and clear communication from a leadership standpoint. So, like, I don't know how involved you are in the season, or if more of the communication is during the off season, or if there's a flow or balance. Like, how do you guys navigate that? What does communication look like in sort of delivering the expectation and the standard for how you want things to go, for like determining, you know, what the next step is going to be, or if something's not working? How do you guys kind of go about that?
Good question. Well, in training camp, I think y'all saw we were there for all the practices, and so we're available. So if something comes up and needs to be addressed, you know, we're there on the field, we're available, talk to the coach, talk to the GM, then we'll have regularly scheduled meetings with both of them. So we have weekly, regularly scheduled, but outside of that, we see them almost daily. So we're available if something comes up, and there's an ebb and flow in the season where sometimes they need more input from us, and sometimes they really don't need a lot of input from us. But we have constant contact, and the door is always open.
Well, let's talk about some of the superstars we got over here, y'all. And another
Lindsay
owner.
Lindsay and Omar.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
Not the obvious ones.
The three superstars in this group are behind the glass: Omar, Foxy, and T-Meal. There's no doubt about that. But the again, another obvious ownership, you know, communication, participation, involvement here. You paid Derek Stingley, right? No brainer. I mean, the guy's the best, one of, if not the best in the league. As fans, we're sitting here looking at the back-to-backs you just mentioned with CJ and Will, and those contracts are fixing to come up and have to get signed off on. For you guys, when it comes to those types of decisions, how involved are you, and what is your process look like there?
It's already started with the two guys coming up.
We stay informed
and we make plans, you know, to be able to handle that. And that's what we want to do. We want to draft really well and then be able to sign these guys to second contracts and keep the team together that way. And Nick showing that he has an ability to draft really well.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're going to get him under contract and keep these really good players with the team.
It seems like y'all do a good job of building relationships with these players, too. I mentioned observing y'all at practice. I saw y'all talking to Tank Dell yesterday. It's real good to see him out there. Seems like y'all have got a real, like, affection for some of these players that are, especially some of the homegrown ones, some of the ones that you guys draft, and they work out. The way Tank is and was, obviously the injury has kind of derailed some things, but what is it like for you guys building these relationships with the guys that you draft and are now, you know, the faces of this franchise?
It's an integral part of what and who we are as an organization. You have that. So D'Amico sets a tone with all of the guys, right? We're a family. We work together. We keep each other accountable. But that is throughout the organization. That also starts at the top with going through the business side, going through the football side. You really want to know who's in your building. You want to be able to set the culture. And to me, yes, it starts with D'Amico, and yes, you know, with Mike Thoman, but ultimately it does go all the way to the top and where Cal sets the tone with that. So the culture is very much a part of it. We care about all these guys. I mean, we really do. You get to know them on and off the field. And so
have a lot of respect for all the work they put in and the sweat they lay out on there and the blood they leave out on the field, both in the practices and in the games. It's just something we have a lot of respect for.
Big game tomorrow, y'all. Big game tomorrow. Kickoff at noon. By the way, we got Houston Texans owners Cal and Hannah McNair in the building live on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. But big game tomorrow, 12 o'clock kickoff. What does game day look like from y'all's perspective? Get up in the morning, get your coffee rolling.
Yeah, let us know the routine. How do the McNairs do game day?
Preseason is a little bit less stressful, so I might eat before we go. But during the season, I can't eat. I'm so stressed. Excited stress, right? You're really looking forward to it. And so we wake up, and Cal generally, his starts the night before. He gets pretty quiet, gets into the zone.
What's stressing you out,
sorry,
though?
Am I not talking loud?
I'm curious, though. Like, what's stressing you out? Like, is it just the game, the result, the overall operation? I mean, y'all are in charge of
everything.
The whole thing.
I want everyone to play well. I want
each
the coaches to coach
so
well.
Yeah.
Just everyone doing their part. And when you have everyone working together, the games are so fun, especially in front of your home crowd. To hear that stadium erupt and the city erupt, it's so much joy. It brings me so much joy to hear our fans scream. It is so much fun.
Cal, I'm concerned for you if and when we make that run to the Super Bowl.
I'm
concerned for you.
We're gonna
get another hallway. We're gonna get another hallway video.
I want a Hannah live
no.
cam. No, look, for the greater good. I know you don't want it, Hannah, but for the greater good, like if hell, it's AFC Championship game, Hannah live cam. We can navigate. It doesn't have to be all.
Let's go back to 2020 on my birthday against the Bears. I became a meme because people thought I was sleeping.
Yeah, I remember that.
What happened was we dropped two end zone passes, and I slumped in my chair. I was so upset.
It was actually passion,
and we couldn't
not indifference.
So we couldn't tackle.
Yeah,
I mean, it was so frustrating.
She was so mad,
and I just sat back and I was like, "What do we have to do?"
Yeah.
And
I became a meme.
Yeah, it's just,
they were comparing me to the Talladega Nights owner's wife, which was pretty funny. That was my favorite meme.
Well, that makes you likable. That's what I'm saying. That moment should have probably been a more likable moment than a she's
so
sleeping at the game. No, she cares.
She's
invested.
So since that moment, and I'll tell you, my family said they were watching it on TV going, Hannah, move. Hannah, move. Move, Hannah, move.
Wake up.
Hey, wake up. And Cal, after that, has reminded me multiple times, you might be on camera right now, Hannah. Sit down.
Well, you are right now, so be careful. Don't fall asleep on us. I know we're boring, but fall asleep on us. Cal,
I'll rely on the routine.
Yeah.
You know, laying out the same suit, same tie, same boots, same belt, same shirt, you know, and
that's easy for men to do. Like,
yeah.
You can do all that. We have to change our outfits.
Is that what it is? Is it more convenience or is it superstition? Like, what's the...
It's a lean on a routine.
Okay.
It is. I'm a little bit superstitious.
I'm a lot of superstitious. Just ask Mark Vandermeer and John Harris.
Well, that's the right way to do it, though. I mean, you stay steady with the same thing and let Hannah shine. That's
steady
fair.
Is the word Cal's mom describes him. She describes him steady.
Really? You agree with that, Cal?
I agree with everything my mom says. Yes, absolutely.
You know, since you
know better,
is that
a
trick question?
You know better, don't you?
No, since you mentioned her, though, obviously going into the
Ring of Honor, yeah.
That's something that obviously I know has got to be a big moment for y'all's family. And, you know, congratulations to her, all of you, obviously. What does that mean to you? Like, it kind of goes without saying, this is your mother we're talking about. But if you care to articulate, like, what does it mean to honor her at this phase in the organization and kind of just recognizing her in a way that I think is appropriate?
Yeah, I think it was one of the easiest decisions we've ever made, you know, and everybody was on board with it. And she totally deserves it. And she was there with Dad from the very beginning. She helped build the team. They made decisions side by side. And they've just done so much and poured back into Houston was really important to them. And in fact, bringing the team back to Houston was, you know, they wanted to do it for Houston. So so much of what they did is for the love of Houston and giving back to Houston. And she represents and embraces all of that. So it was really an easy decision.
Yeah, this really showcases her contributions, not to just to the team, but to the community as well. Yeah.
How much of and this has probably been asked this before, of you guys' relationship and collective effort is you saw it for so long and now this is just the way you two work?
Oh, from them?
From your parents, to the kind of the way you guys operate right now. I don't know. I don't cover any other teams, so I don't know how many other wives or husbands, whoever is not the active owner, are involved as much as you guys are. But it seems like y'all are pretty confident and this is the way to go. And you probably learned that from your folks, huh?
I think there's a lot of wives that are involved, it's not showcased quite as much, but I talk to a lot of the wives and they're heavily involved in different things throughout the organization. So when you look at it, I think most of these husbands do lean on their wives and that significant other.
Yeah, and more than half of our fans are female. So
yep.
It makes sense to have a female right at the very top of the organization helping make decisions and giving input, and it's been wonderful.
Hannah, what speaking of that, the female, the owner, your involvement in the community, I've seen some things that now with two little girls obviously have a little different meaning and hit me a little bit different than they ever did before. But your involvement
you
in particular.
Have two little flag football players.
They're bingo. You know exactly where I'm going.
You're going to be able to save my girls football, yes.
Yeah. Well, I
they don't have to get hit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now they're getting hit. They're hitting each other. So maybe they're built to get hit.
But, just interject real quick, too, to that, Clint. Hannah, our guy Ron, the show, Hughley, just texted in a minute ago. He wanted me to pass along to you that he is very drunk right now, but he is also a humongous supporter and loves the lady flag football going on.
There you go.
Tell Ron he's not here, so he doesn't get input.
Great response.
He doesn't get mentioned. But I'm
not bitter at all.
You shouldn't
she
be.
She won't remember either.
I just wanted to.
I'll forget this right after this.
Take a second and just get your thoughts on what all you're doing off the field and in that spectrum, that world, arena, if you will. Because, again, it's just one that's caught my eye, and I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that are dialed in as well.
It's a daily conversation with multiple people in the organization about the growth of the sport, but also how we can impact more. And we really have done a lot throughout the last year and grown it through, you know, Austin, El Paso, which has been a lot of fun. And then for the girls of Austin to go and win the NFL Flag Championship, that really has boosted the program even more. So I get texts from people wanting to come coach in the program and be a part of it, or their daughters want to be part of it. How do we get involved? So the interest has really, really grown, and we're excited for that. And we have plans for different things in the future that, you know, as it goes along, we'll share with the public. But we are really, really excited about where it's going. What? And we have a premiere coming up on the 28th. Where all of the proceeds of that does go back into the community with these programs and supports these programs to provide opportunities for all the young ladies.
I saw, I think it was a commercial, an ad during the Texans first game. I noticed it because it was your voice, right? But
yeah, very distinct, smoke two packs a day, raspy voice.
Hey, you're making Montgomery County proud.
I have never smoked a cigarette in my life, but here we are.
The thought was like it said, help us get the sport sanctioned. Am I accurate?
Yes, we are. We really, really need to get it sanctioned in the state of Texas, and we are in so many high schools, and there is so much interest. Over 2,000 girls this last spring, and what we really like is to get it UIL sanctioned so that we can provide more opportunities for the girls in the state
and
of Texas.
There's a pathway for them.
There is,
you know, scholarships and continue on in the sport that they've grown to love.
To be clear, the UIL sanctioned means it can be a high school sport.
Correct. Yes. Right, gotcha. And then it goes on, leads to scholarships.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I mean, I just think it's a matter of time before that happens. And people like you, obviously, Hannah, I congratulate you, respect you, and admire the heck out of you making that move. But it's something that is just, you guys are going to push it over the goal line at some point, and it's going to hit. Because it's just a matter of time, right? I mean, I think it's, again, if you've got little girls, man, it's wild.
Our daughter plays.
Yes.
So for dads like you who have daughters and you're going, I want to be in sports and football, I mean, you've now got a pathway to do that. And maybe you coach your daughters as they're young. I mean, there's so much involvement.
They're not real coachable right now.
But our daughter plays. She's been playing since she was 5, and she loves the sport. And I just got an email from Cecil Shorts today. He's coaching her for this fall, so we're excited about a great coach. He's a really, really good coach. So we're excited about that. And his 3 daughters, who are Hunter's best friends. So we're excited for another fall.
I didn't want to let y'all get out of here before this, because you mentioned earlier, Cal, about the new video boards and some of the renovations. Just I am curious from you guys, like, and y'all have got partners in this with the county and the stadium negotiations, all of that. But just as far as like an ideal world for you guys and y'all's facility, like what is the ideal scenario for you guys in going forward in the future? Because this was one of the questions.
Great question.
We did tell
is somebody
people,
texting you that
we did tell people to ask questions. And this is a variation of that question. This is just me asking you guys just straight up. What is the ideal scenario for the McNairs for the future of Texans stadium and facilities?
a win-win-win for everyone involved. Our partners, the rodeo, we want them to win. We want the county to feel like they win, the city to feel like they win, the state, the Texans. We all want to win and have a great world-class experience for the fans that come and use it, not just our fans, but the rodeo and all the different events that are in there, to have a world-class experience where we can have, you know, even the World Cup come in, and we can have maybe Super Bowls come in and do all those things in a world-class manner.
Fair enough.
Cal and I are born and raised here, so there's nothing we love more than to continue to pour back into the community.
Yeah.
There you have it, B. Scott.
Wait, is there a fun question, though, that the fans have?
Oh, what are some fun ones? That well,
we could read on the air. I have never seen the text line, so I'm not sure what is on
there.
Yeah,
we don't want to make you slumping your chair like you did at that Bears game 5 years ago.
I
want to
say thank you for helping me on the grill. The griddle. We were on the griddle.
Yeah.
Cooking about 500 hamburgers.
Yes, sir.
In 100-degree weather.
100-degree. Heat doesn't bother us. It purifies.
Well, you don't know how close to disaster you really were letting me stand next to you on that grill. I'm as a grown-ass man, I'm embarrassed of my abilities on a grill or a griddle or anything. And I know you.
Don't be embarrassed.
Wait, well, speaking of, I don't think Ron has come back to help you with that since the first year. Is that correct?
Joanna didn't give him a towel. He's still holding it.
She brought a towel up to the studio for him.
Yeah,
when he said that.
It wasn't hot in here. It was hot out there. He needed it out there, he said. He still holds that against Joanna.
We got cold.
If he can hold a grudge like that, keep the one against him
going.
That's
a grudge-holding dude right there.
I will match his energy.
Yeah. Let him know we got cold towels yesterday delivered.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. But thank you very much.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me. If you ever are in the radio studio, I'm going to strongly suggest that you stay away from the text line.
Yes.
Oh,
it is not advised.
My screen is blank over here because I get mad and I just completely tune out the radio and I'm over here mad at somebody on the text line. So don't do it.
And I honestly, I have it up.
Do y'all have a bunch of trolls?
I prefer not to have it up.
Yeah.
Now, Hannah, what do you think?
I don't know what kind of.
I prefer to close it right now.
I've been listeners, so
they're passionate.
They're great.
They're
passionate. I like passion.
I mean, it is just. I mean, you say something a little bit off, you get smoked.
Well, I did text John Lopez. The other day when they said something, I was like, man, I take offense.
See? So if
they were talking about being around your spouse all the time, and I was like, God literally is around me all the time. So
speaking of, at 4 o'clock, I made a major mistake today with my spouse and my family. I've got a it's been a running joke.
I know a good jeweler.
It's been a she's got enough jewelry. She's got enough jewelry. Golly, and I'm not in Cal's tax bracket. So your jeweler ain't in. He don't want to mess with me. I'm too cheap.
Flowers also work.
I'm too cheap. Or your floors. But hey, we appreciate you guys coming on, and best of luck this year, and let's go get us a Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah.
One game at a time, boys. Let's go.
We can't say. Okay, one game. Hey, let's
one
go
game
get,
at a time.
Oh, come on.
Let's
now.
Go get them.
Y'all been saying, tell you wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Y'all been saying everything with your chest for at least 3 or 4 years now. Come on, man. We're out here trying to go get a Super Bowl.
That falls in the superstitious category.
Yeah, I hear you. And we can't cash that check ourselves, the four of us sitting here anyway. So.
Superstitious.
Let's go win that ever important preseason game number 2 against the Panthers. Huh? Right. What y'all say?
Let's play well. Shall we have a good time?
All right, man. We appreciate you guys, and again, best of luck this upcoming season.
Thanks for having us.
And this, Scott.
This does count, Hannah. This does count. This counts as a visit. This does count as a visit.
Do you still use that?
Oh, Tyler used it this morning.
Oh, yeah.
This,
at least twice today already before y'all got here.
All right. That's Cal and Hannah McNair, owners of the Houston Texans. And B. Scott, we got to get B. Scott's take on the running back room for the Houston Texans right now. It's a busy place. A lot of legs running around in there. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Does this count as us being on your show?
Hold on, show.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. B. Scott is in. T. Mills behind the glass on the ones and twos. And you're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Greatly appreciate everybody out there listening. Big shout out to Texans ownership, Cal and Hannah McNair, for stopping through live and in person right here in the studio and breaking bread with us for every bit of 30 minutes. Sorry about that, Tyler. I know I put you in a little bit of a pinch right there.
That was good stuff.
Hey, it's why you're one of the best in the business, baby. You'll get us back on track and handled up.
And as a show, we got to take advantage of the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Right?
No doubt about it, man. But big shout out to Cal and Hannah McNair right there. That was good stuff. Now, there is a joint practice going on. There is a training camp that we are in the middle of with the Houston Texans, and there's a roster that's got to be cut down sooner rather than later here. And Brandon Scott, I know you and I talked a little bit at training camp yesterday. One of the position groups that you have your eye dead set on is the running back room. And here's the deal with the running back room is Joe Mixon is injured and not practicing. I don't know that we've even seen Joe Mixon. Have you seen Joe Mixon in practice?
Have not laid eyes on him.
So there's the Joe Mixon news. I don't know where he's at. Don't know exactly the extent of what's going on yet.
Worth noting, by the way, as I mentioned in the last interview with Kyle and Hannah, we have seen Tank Dell is at practice.
Yeah, Tank Dell's walking around.
He's visible at least.
Absolutely. So you've got that going on, and then Nick Chubb has been in and out. I think there was a concussion. I know there was concussion protocol at one point when he was in the red jersey.
That's right. Non-contact. That's right.
There was anyway. He's kind of been in and out, and but he was back in the joint practice working. Damian Pierce has yet to be seen. He has been on the side. Again, in street clothes.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Yesterday.
Well, did one walkthrough, I think, at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, did one walkthrough and that's it. Been in street. He was in street clothes yesterday. And beyond those three guys, you've got Jawar Jordan, you got Dari Agumbawale, you got Woody Marks, you've got British Brooks,
J.J. Taylor.
You got J.J. Taylor. Yeah, those are your running backs. B. Scott, I know you've got some thoughts on that running back room just in general. I'll be honest with you, I'm at a spot where I think I'm probably letting the name Nick Chubb cloud my judgment a little bit. Boy, I want that sucker to be nailed for damn sure.
Yeah.
But I don't. That may be unhealthy for me. But I know you've got some thoughts on the running back room.
Well, Nick Chubb, I think Sean Pendergast was the one that made a good job of making this point when they first signed him. just him being signed and on the roster at all made that position group a very interesting numbers game going into camp, in part because of the name, because he's Nick Chubb. And so you have to, like, put him into the mix. This isn't just any old running back that they've signed that they're bringing in to compete. This is Nick Chubb that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so if you get 75% of Nick, anywhere from 60 to 75% of Nick Chubb, that's absolutely somebody that you want to have on your team. The interesting part about it for me, watching practice, having watched the practices and specifically being out there yesterday, is that Nick Chubb has yet to really stand out. And I don't know, like, I don't know if Nick Chubb, when you talk about maybe the name clouding your judgment a little bit, I don't know if Nick Chubb is in a position where he needs to stand out in practice, or if they just need to be monitoring how he's moving and feel good enough about his health and then just say, hey, you know, we believe in Nick Chubb. Like, how much does he need to do in practice to have to prove himself versus some of these other guys? But as far as practice goes and as far as what the depth looks like you know, and I said this earlier on the show, I think earlier in the week on Wednesday, I know that they want to be physical and that they want to run the football. I can't tell based off of the pecking order and the guys that are available who they want to run the football with and who those guys are going to be. And so, and if I had to guess right now, Nick Chubb is somebody that I would leave off my roster, right? And I wouldn't have said that going into camp. And I'm like you, I would like to see Nick Chubb or some, you know, facsimile of Nick Chubb out there for them.
Yeah.
But what I've seen so far doesn't per se look like the Nick Chubb that we all have grown to know and love.
Yeah, look, I think Nick Chubb stylistically is going to be a guy that's going to be hard to watch when it's not take to the ground and be impressed with. He's not a guy that's going to line up in the slot and catch the ball. He's not one of these. What's my man's name in New Orleans that's been
Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara or the my cat in Detroit that is a scat back.
Not Swift. It used to be Swift, but Jamar Gibbs.
Jamar. Yeah, there you go, Gibbs. I mean, you know, he's just not that kind of back where you're going to just be daily. He's going to be put in position to make big plays. Everything he does is going to be inside the tackles, and everything he does is going to be a bowling ball is hard to tackle.
Yeah,
and it's hard to see that when you're half speed, when you're in shells, when you're so the Nick Chubb thing is we're going to really tell what level of Nick Chubb we get when we get into some real action here. So we'll that running back room, we'll circle back to it. We'll check in on it. There's plenty of conversation there to be had. All right, the Astros have the lineup out for tonight in a solid little series here at home versus the Orioles. We'll have that starting lineup for you. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. Cal McNair, Hannah McNair, we're just in the building at 3 o'clock, from 3 o'clock to 3:30. Now would be a good time to download that Odyssey app, AUDACY. Use that rewind feature. Go back and listen to the Texans ownership as we had a nice little cool, comfortable conversation with them for about 30 minutes ahead of preseason game number two. Astros, 7:10 first pitch tonight. Texans, noon kickoff tomorrow, preseason game number two. If you're just now joining us, we've got some details on the Josh Hader injury, and it's not good, folks. Josh Hader has a left shoulder capsule sprain. According to the Astros, the team says he will not throw for approximately 3 weeks, right? There was a 15-day IL stint. Joe Espada came out and said it's going to take a little longer than 2 weeks. And now here this report is he will not throw for approximately 3 weeks. And then after that, the next steps will be determined. So we're looking at a three-week span here, looks like, of rest and relaxation for Josh Hader. See how the shoulder responds, and then they'll let us know, you know, what the plans are from there. Not good news on the Josh Hader front, B. Scott.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like, just gut feeling, right? We're not doctors. We're not medical experts of any kind. But the 3 weeks of rest, you got to feel like, you know, it's a sprain. The 3 weeks of rest, you got to feel like it's not going to just suddenly fix it. Like, all right, that'll do it. So we're talking about three weeks of rest, but how many weeks are we talking about not being available? How long is it going to take him to get back right, to get back ramped up after being out for 3 weeks or not throwing at all for 3 weeks? I don't know what that rehab and ramp-up period is supposed to look like, but at some point we're going to be going into 4 weeks, or is it 5 weeks, and is it 6 weeks? And, you know, and then you start questioning, especially given the bad injury luck that the Astros have had really over the last couple of years, but particularly to this year, the bad injury luck that they've had doesn't make you feel good about his chances. Like, oh, it just feels like, and this is non-scientific, but it feels like they are just doomed for some type of injury calamity here, like where this guy might not be available until, you know, at best a deeper run into the playoffs, if that, if at all.
Well, it just seems like one of those deals where the organization is too healthy. The roster's too good for the injuries to keep them from being a playoff caliber team.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But what is it? What does it look like in a sense of ALCS or World Series when you're losing so many guys and missing so many key pieces?
Yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully, this is just the 3 week rest period. Hopefully that bodes well, and we get Josh Hader back. For the time being, Brian Abreu will be your ninth inning closer. I think we talked about it a little earlier. We both have a lot of confidence in Brian Abreu in that role. The key is now. Similar to what it was before, how do you get from your starting pitcher to the eighth where Brian Abreu would take over? Now it's how do you get from wherever your starter leaves the game to your closer now in the ninth inning, and what does that look like? And they're awfully thin. The good news is they've got some arms that are coming back. I don't know exactly where those arms fit in. I don't know from a long relief role to a setup guy role to another starter. I don't know exactly how all that looks, but there are some arms that are coming in that they will try in some of those different roles. We'll see. We'll keep you posted on the Josh Hader front. Like I said earlier, the Astros first pitch tonight, 7:10 versus the O's. It's game one of a 3-game series here at home in Daikin Park versus the Orioles. Framber Valdez tonight, Jason Alexander tomorrow, and then Christian Javier in his second start back from injury for the Astros. This is a stretch of about 20 games where the Astros in 16 of them should be favorites to win those games. So the Astros, they'll have a shot to maybe extend their game and a half lead in this division over the next handful of games.
We had a texter earlier, Clint, that made a very simple but good point about how the Astros can help remedy this Josh Hader back into the bullpen or the bridge part of
simple and straightforward. What do they got?
Score more runs.
Yeah.
Like if they can tap into the Astros of old, and obviously like we look at the lineup that they got out there today, it ain't the Astros of old, and we've been watching them. They've had their moments, right? They've had their offensive outbursts for sure, but man, it would be really good. It'd be really good if those bats could really not only wake up, but wake up with some level of consistency to help these starters out, to help the middle of the bullpen out, to give Brian Abreu actual chances to show himself, to prove himself like he did the other night as a closer or as a temporary bridge closer. Go out there and score more runs. Sounds simple. Easy for me to say as a dude that's not being out there, asked to go out there and take pitches and to score runs. But, man, that would be great. That would be great, is to become some kind of consistent offense. I'd love to see.
Well, more runs is always the part of the formula that would help significantly, right? Well, speaking of more runs, here is the Astros lineup tonight. Jose Altuve's leading off. Carlos Correa's in the two-hole at third base. By the way, Altuve is DHing. Jesus Sanchez is hitting third in left field. Christian Walker is at first base in the cleanup. Yainer Diaz is catching. Urias is at second base tonight. Trammell is in center field. Mauricio Dubon is at shortstop tonight. And Cam Smith is in right field. No Pena tonight. There was no Correa in game 3 versus the Red Sox. No Pena tonight. kind of interesting, as it has been for a while now, with how they pick and choose when to rest these guys and how to rest these guys. But that is the lineup for tonight, B. Scott.
Yeah, well, with Pena, I feel like with him coming back from the rib, they're just trying to do right by him. And he was a workhorse before he got injured, somebody that was pretty much playing every day. And so it makes sense that that would change after he's coming back from injury. And they want him to be available for the long. I don't love not seeing him in the lineup. It makes me a little bit worried or concerned about, you know, how healthy is he? How's he feeling? But if it's just more of a caution thing, then I can live with it, even if I don't necessarily love it. The thing that kind of actually stands out to me from looking at the lineup, Clint, is just how we have matured or progressed in our Astros journey, where you can look at a lineup, especially with no Pena in the lineup at all, where you got Altuve and Correa leading off, and neither of them is playing second base or shortstop, right? Like, and we understand how the positions have changed. We've covered the story. We all understand. But it's just so odd to look at it and be like, you know, those are the recognizable names from their lineup. Altuve and Correa, they're at the top. But Altuve, DH, Correa, third base, and no Pena at shortstop. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, okay, so these guys have really kind of reached a different point in their careers now. Well, this is an interesting thing to look at.
Another thing that sticks out, I know, here on this show is just Chaz McCormick getting absolutely
no run.
No run whatsoever. I mean, we've got to a point where Trammell is preferred in center field over a guy that I mean, statistically was one of the top center fielders in the American League a couple years back, a guy that made some defensive plays that hell, you can argue save championship seasons, just for whatever reason.
Yeah, helps you win one.
I mean, can't get. I mean, it's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I totally get. I didn't like it when it was going on, but it's obviously panned out. The Jake Myers thing, hey, he's a homegrown guy. You drafted him. You're sticking with him. And, hey, man, he's great defensively. And all of a sudden, the bat come around this year. And that's one that you look at and you go, okay, I can understand, right? But, boy, him being healthy and not being able to get consistent run with the Melton getting thrown out there and Trammell getting thrown out there.
Man, look,
I mean, it's
Trammell and Melton. I mean, how about even in left field, you got Jesus Sanchez? Like,
well, way I justify that is you just traded for him. So you got,
but that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah, you went out and traded for a guy.
Itself,
you made a move for a guy that you clearly feel more confident in the guy than you do in the guy that you're talking about.
Wild,
that's helped you get to where you are. It's just a wild place. I mean, we're talking about guys here with OPS in Sanchez of 720 and with Trammell of 716. It's not like we're talking about world beaters out here. We're no disrespect, just talking about guys.
Yeah.
Literal just guys out there, and they're getting a nod over Chaz, who, you know, Dusty infamously said at one point he's not one of the big boys yet, and it looks like he's not going to ever get a chance to become, if he did get the chance, that chance is coming gone.
It's hard for me to believe that he hadn't rubbed somebody wrong. You know what I mean? In some level of the way he's responded to the Jake Myers situation, the way he got kind of jammed up with that deal and kind of consistently seems to get the short end of the stick, if you will. It's hard for me to think, because that don't make sense.
Yeah,
man.
But this also just screams lack of belief to me, though.
Yeah.
Because normally, even if somebody is a pain in the ass, you'll kind of give them the benefit of the doubt if they're clearly better than the next guy. I mean, you know this as a former professional athlete yourself. It's a results-based business, and they just don't believe in his results.
Yeah.
Clearly, man.
That means there's other guys that they're picking over him that don't have results either.
Yeah, so, man, it's weird.
It's wild. But nonetheless, we shall see. All right, boys, it bit me in the ass, man. Dirty's Daily today is going to be something personal. It bit me in the ass. We had a lot of fun with this. It bit me in the ass today, and I might be in a little bit of trouble. All right, I'm going to tell you what that is, and we'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.